the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. It's our new series, Bogus or Biblical, The False Gospels and the Real Jesus. And I've got a real special guest with me today. He is the author of many books, including Fabricating Jesus and Jesus and the Manuscripts. These are books that really touch on exactly what we're dealing with in this series. He's the man that Dr. Scott Hahn calls the greatest Bible scholar in the English-speaking world. He's also my professor, great friend of the show. Dr. Craig Evans is my guest. Good to have you, Dr. Evans.
Hey, thank you, Cale. It's always a delight to be with you on your program.
Very rare that we do interviews on this show, but I'm so happy to have you because we're going to talk about a couple of false gospels that are just, the stories are so bizarre. They're almost unbelievable. They truly are actually unbelievable. And I want to get you to fill in our audience on exactly what we are talking about when we're talking about, first of all, the so-called secret gospel of Mark. And this story really starts off, Dr. Evans, in 1960 at the meeting, the annual meeting of a society that you're a member of course, the Society of Biblical Literature. What happened in that year?
Well, in 1960, as you just said, the Society of Biblical Literature met in New York on the campus of Columbia University. And Morton Smith, who had been a member for years and was on the faculty of Columbia, announced that he had found it just 2 years before, in the summer of 1958, at the Mar Saba Monastery, the oldest ongoing, still living monastery in Christendom. It's in the Judean desert, approximately midway between Jerusalem to the west and the Dead Sea to the east. Mm. At the Mar Saba Monastery, he found an old copy of a book by Isaac Voss. It's a Latin work discussing the Greek text of the Epistles of St. Ignatius. Mm. Anyway, the book dates to the middle of the 17th century, and in the very back, what should be blank papers, he found 2.5 pages handwritten Greek text, a long-lost letter of St. Clement, Clement of Alexandria, who flourished in the early 3rd century. And what was extraordinary about this letter, if it really was by Clement of Alexandria, in this letter written to a young pastor named Theodore, he mentions a secret version or a mystical version of the Gospel of Mark that's actually a bit longer than the one we have in the New Testament. Then he quotes 2 paragraphs from it, one long paragraph in which a man that Jesus had raised from the dead comes to Jesus at night. Morton Smith announced that in 1960, as you just said, and 13 years later, he published 2 books. I have them right in front of me, a popular version called The Secret Gospel and a very long scholarly version that he called Clement of Alexandria and A Secret Gospel of Mark. They both came out in 1973, where he was arguing that they're probably authentic, that there really was a longer version of Mark that had some, at the very least we could say, controversial content that got later removed from what we now have in the New Testament. So there you have it. That's The Secret Gospel of Mark.
That is quite something. So just to reiterate this for our listeners, the scholar Morton Smith went to the Mar Saba Monastery in the Judean wilderness, and he finds allegedly part of a letter of St. Clement of Alexandria, which was written in Greek, right?
That's right.
Allegedly. Okay, so he finds these on the blank pages of an old text, an old copy of the letters of St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Yeah, and this is a print edition that was made in the 1640s. So obviously Clement didn't hold that in his hand and write his letter in the back of this book. It is surmised by Morton Smith that a much, much older copy of this letter was in existence at Mar Saba. And perhaps it was partly destroyed. There was a fire in a cave in which books had been kept, so whatever. And so to save this portion of the letter, somebody looking for a place to write chose to write it on, as you just said, the blank end papers in a print edition. And so this letter from originally the 3rd century AD is written in the back of a book that was printed in the 17th century AD, and that's how we have it. It very abruptly ends, so the letter is not, it isn't complete. We have 2.5 pages. How much longer it would have been, we don't know. But what is shocking is this quotation that has a Johannine ring to it. It sure sounds like John 11, where Lazarus is raised up. And of course, he's this youth, that's the word that is that does occur once or twice in Mark, who comes to Jesus to be indoctrinated, inducted maybe, into the secrets of the kingdom of God. And this is very much of interest to Morton Smith. He likes the idea of Jesus as a magician who teaches people secrets, secrets that include ecstasy, ascending into heaven, having experiences, and did have interests in magic and this kind of thing. And so some people wondered if the text was genuine. Perhaps Morton Smith wrote it himself. And it's never been scientifically studied, and now the pages have simply gone missing. The book itself still exists, but those last three pages have disappeared. So there's controversy. There are people who swear that Smith was telling the truth, that this is not a fake. There are many, many others who view it as dubious, and there are others like me who think there is some kind of fraud at work.
Has anybody actually, Dr. Evans, has anybody actually tried to look like forensically at this text and whether or not it's legitimate or not?
Yeah, of course, there's been handwriting analysis done. The late Herschel Shanks, editor of Biblical Archaeology Review, actually hired a couple of handwriting experts. They had a divided opinion. It all blew up in 2005 with a book by Stephen Carlson, who's on faculty at a university, Catholic University, by the way, in Australia. And in 2005, he published a work claiming that it was a hoax, that Morton Smith is the hoaxer, that he himself held the pen and wrote these 2.5 pages of Greek text in the back of this Isaac Voss book. And of course, that was hugely controversial. Now, Stephen Carlson wouldn't pass himself off as a handwriting expert, but he does have experience in that, and has successfully identified forgeries. He has a good track record, but he worked with a woman named Julie Edison of the FBI, who actually consults with the FBI on handwriting analysis. She agreed that Smith is the writer. And the reason for that is we have samples of how Morton Smith wrote Greek. And there are three Greek letters that he writes in a peculiar way. And there are examples of those peculiar forms in this handwritten letter in the back of the book, made it clear that Smith was the writer. And yet there have been three other handwriting experts weigh in, and two of those three agree. But there is one handwriting expert that disagrees and thinks that, no, Smith didn't write it. So it isn't unanimous. It's still controversial. And there's a lot of polemic out there. I mean, angry people over daring to question Morton Smith's integrity or his truthfulness or whatever. So it's a touchy subject.
I want to ask you specifically one question about these documents cataloged by Professor Morton Smith. This might shed some light on the alleged secret Mark text. There is another document cataloged by him dated to the 20th century. It's kind of a different one. And it's signed with this very, very strange signature, M. Matiotes. Can you explain what this is and what this might have to do with?
That's one of the oddest things going, no matter what your position is on it. Of course, S and M agree. You know, you get Matiotes. You know, is this the reverse of Morton Smith? M-S, S-M. But Matiotes means bald head, and Morton Smith was prominently very bald for most of his adult life. And the thing is, Matiotes, there is no known Greek in any period of time with that name. You can turn to the telephone directory if it still exists. There isn't anyone named Matiotes, and so it's probably a false name. And I mean, it has a genuine ring to it, but the name of it means either swindler or cheat or bald head. And, you know, and it's the root.
All three might apply
round
here.
Or spherical. Yeah. And the thing is, the handwriting is the same. It looks the same as the handwriting in the back of this other book. And Smith dates the handwriting in the back of the Isaac Voss book. He dates that to the 18th century. But this letter you've just referred to, signed Matthiotes, he dates to the 20th century. So that is very odd. The other thing is, he actually writes numbers, I mean, and signs his name. I mean, you know, he's looking at books that belong to this monastery, and he puts his name on the title page of this Isaac Voss book. Hmm. And my suspicion is that's because the book belonged to Smith. He bought it in a used bookshop, put his name in it, and then later, as it were, donated it to the Marsapa Monastery after he added his curious little appendix at the back.
And then, hey, look what we found here. Wow.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you right now, your audience needs to know. I'll tell you why I think it's a fake. I'm not a handwriting expert, so I defer to those who know that far better than I do. But prior to his discovery in 1958, if he really did make a discovery in 1958, in years leading up to this, in at least three different publications, Morton Smith talks about some very peculiar ideas. And these peculiar ideas are in this document. And people who work with forgeries, that's one of the clues. That's a big clue. If the person who found the item in question, if it turns out he's in possession of distinctive features of the item before the item is found, it is suspected that the discoverer is in fact the author of the thing he claims to have found. And so, you know, I don't think we have time to talk about it, but there are some very peculiar things in Secret Mark. And Morton Smith was proposing these peculiar things as early as the 1940s. Before he made the discovery. So to me, that just says there's something rotten in Denmark. Mm-hmm. Either he found this thing much earlier and it gave him ideas, or he had weird ideas and created a text that would help support his ideas. And that's where a lot of people lean today.
It seems to be the more plausible take, given the evidence that we have. One more little thing about this, another curious feature of this whole mystery is another mystery, namely a book that came out in 1940 by James Hunter called The Mystery of Mar Saba. What is this book about, and how might this relate to this incredibly strange
tale? Yeah, that's great.
Tale?
I've read it too, by the way. It's a lot of fun. You can, for $5 or $6, you can buy a used copy of it online. I've read the book. It's a novel. And you know what? The plot is amazingly similar. And so it's written in 1940 as if it actually is a story a year earlier, before World War II started, before Germany invaded Poland. And so the Nazis want to discourage Christian Britain. And the way they do that is they have a page of forged Greek that they slip inside some other documents that they hide at Mar Saba. The story is so parallel, it's amazing. And then a British archaeologist finds the text, and what the text basically says is Jesus wasn't raised up. That's why the tomb was found empty. He wasn't raised. His body was simply removed, taken by friends to another location. That would then discourage Christian Britain. Oh, why risk death? Why fight? Why, you know, why oppose Hitler? So that's the plot. No, it's a fiction. It's just a story. James Hunter published it. It was a bestseller. It remained in print for 20 years at least. And so the thing is, we actually have exact words and phrases from that novel in Morton Smith's publications.
Wow.
So the assumption is that Smith read it probably when he was in Israel in the 1940s. He was stuck there during World War II, so he was living in Israel for about 5 years. And so it's quite possible, and he did visit the Mar Saba Monastery, so it's quite possible he read the novel and got ideas from it. Francis Watson, a well-known scholar at Durham, has argued this very point in a publication some years ago, that this novel inspired Morton Smith, and so he cooked up the story about finding a text at Mar Saba that then supported some of his curious ideas.
Oh my goodness, this could be a TV movie of the week at the very least. What a bizarre story. Like what you've just heard? Share it with your family and friends. And thanks for listening.